Oh, God's good. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we are a people of faith. There is not one thing that we do that's worth anything except it be by faith. We build everything we do, our worship, our being here today, our life, our words, our actions, our confidence, our joy, our peace, our rest, everything on faith that your promises are sure, that your word is everlasting, that what you have said will come to pass, will be seen, will be manifested in its season, in its time, in its day. We thank you, Lord God, that everything in this world is by faith. There is nothing in this world that has life in itself. Everything is derivative of thy word. In the beginning was the word. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing was except by the word, and that we live day by day, not out of our own life, our own juices, but we live by your word, by the very power of the living God. We thank you that we are saved by faith, healed by faith, prospered by faith, blessed by faith, protected by faith, and that we arrive home safely by faith. We have not yet seen it. We have not yet fully experienced that which you have said. We have not yet tasted of everything that is to come. But we have only had a foretaste, a small taste, a slight experience. But it's the Word that has become our love, our life, our joy, our peace, our rest, our hope, our everything. Lord God, we pray that today, as never again, we will understand the power of the Word of God and the necessity of faith. We are a people that need no longer walk by sight, by what we feel, by what we see, by what we think, by what we desire, but by faith. And I thank you, Lord God, that your word is alive and active and powerful, and that it has created this world, it is creating this people, and it will continue to create until the day of full fruition, and that it will go on eternally and never end. In Jesus' holy name, and all the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. Say it by faith. Amen. Get excited by faith. Amen?
Amen?
A lot of people feel like they're hypocrites if they get excited. You're a hypocrite if you don't. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get excited. Why? Because it's a command of God. God said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. So let's rejoice. Praise God. Glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, wait a minute now. Half of you didn't do it. You just sat there. You know. Come on, let's do it again. Praise God. Glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Woo! Thank you, Lord. You know what? The reason that half of you didn't do it and still about a third of you wouldn't is because you don't have faith. You're waiting for some kind of magic, which will never come, from heaven that will make you want to do it. Hello? It's never going to happen. I'll tell you right now, there ain't no such magic. It's on the Word of God that you must base every emotion, every thought, every deed, everything you do and say and think. Hello? That's what it's all about. If you want some kind of great experience from God, you will wait forever. Now you think, well, I don't want to just step out because that would be just me. That's a lie from hell. It's based on the Word of God that we do what we do. The Word of God now is not just a letter in a book. The Word of God is alive and active. How do I know when I base my life on the Word of God that it's not just the letter that killeth and it's the Spirit that give life? I'll tell you how you know. You can't be positive. You'll never know. If you have to know, you won't. If you're all hung up on not wanting to make a mistake, you'll never grow. Hello? I'll tell you, here's the secret. Start out with that of which you are very, very sure, and later you'll understand the things of which you're not so sure. But you'll make a lot of mistakes. And I'll tell you one thing you can be sure on, this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, you don't have to have a revelation for that. It just is a command out of heaven. You don't have to say, now, when I really hear that, I'll do it. I mean, all there is to hearing it is reading it. You don't have to have a revelation. Now, if you wanted to know whether you should live in Fort Worth or Keene, Texas, you'd have to have a revelation. It's not written down in the book. But you don't need a revelation on rejoicing always. Hello? Say, well, I'll rejoice when I really get a word from God. You've got a word from God. You don't need any more. Start out with that which you already know, and God will lead you on the things you don't know. Amen? Amen. The problem with this people of God is they haven't walked by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. It's something so solid. In the Greek, it's not ousia, which would be... Like the prodigal son sold all his substance, that is, all the stuff he had. Faith is deeper than that. It's something deeper. It's called hypostasis. That is, it's something that stands underneath like bedrock. Faith is the bedrock of everything. Faith is the bedrock of everything. It's not just your substance up here, like, you know, the money you have and the life you live and so on. It's the bedrock of your life. You can either live by feelings or by faith. You can live by thoughts or by God's thoughts. You can live by the flesh or by the Spirit, but everything's going to be based on the Word. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You don't have a choice. I'm going to tell you something. You are an absolutely free people. God will never make you do anything. But by faith, He calls you and makes up every decision for you. Even though you're free, God has made every single decision in your life. He doesn't give you one thing to choose for yourself. He tells you what to think, when to think it, and how to think it. He tells you what to feel, when to feel it, and how to feel it. He tells you to jump and how high. God does everything. He tells you every detail of your life. Therefore, the only way to walk in faith by God is to constantly listening to Him, talking with Him. That is life. That's not just the way to get to life. That is life. The way is the goal. If you've met Jesus, who is the way, you're at the goal, which is heaven. Now, you don't see it because it's by faith. Someday you'll see it face to face. Now, you can wait forever to be healed. You can wait forever to prosper. You can wait forever to rejoice. You can wait forever to get understanding. But it's in the Word of God. Now, I think most people are still afraid to stand out in faith because they think they're hypocritical. They think, well, you know, that's just me doing it. And what if it's not God and I blew it? Well, the Bible says if it's not God and you blew it, He'll forgive you. Isn't that exciting? You know what else it says? If you do wrong If you sin, the Bible, you know what it says? It says it wouldn't be surprised. That's, God would not be surprised. And you know what else it says? If you ask forgiveness, and it says you don't have to convict yourself too. Did you know that? God will do it. It's the Holy Spirit that does all the convicting. You don't have to catch yourself and say, wait a minute, God, don't get me, I'll get myself. No, let God get you. Because when God gets you, He always gives you everything. He never has once hurt me. God has never once punished me. God has never once shown wrath to me. God has never once been angry with me. Never, 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 never. He's always smiling, happy, loving me. Always. Even when I've done wrong, sinned against Him, hated Him, neglected Him, forgot Him, did everything bad, you know what He did? He brought good out of evil. God said there's no condemnation. I don't need a revelation on that. There is now no condemnation. He didn't say I wouldn't feel condemnation. He just said there wasn't any. I can feel it all I want. I can say, well, God, I feel condemned. That's not faith. Faith doesn't say that you won't feel it. Faith says that you aren't condemned because of the blood of Jesus. Now, you can base your... This is a decision that you freely must make to not be free. To freely live by the Word of God. You're the only one that... God will not make you have faith. It's a free gift. You have to want it. You have to choose it. But from now on, to live your life by faith. That means to live your life by the Word of God. Don't make it real spiritual. Just live by the Word of God. You don't have to wait for revelations to come out of heaven to live. They'll come in due season. You just do all the things that are written and obvious. And God will teach you the rest. Now, the reason that most of us are bogging down is we're not doing the obvious things. For example, so many people are still sick and wonder, well, God, how come things aren't working out? How come I'm sick? How come this? How come that? And you're not full of praise. You're so worried about thinking about why you're still sick and so on, you're not excited. How many know that when you pray to God, He usually doesn't answer you that instant? You know, oh God, no, I'm really believing for thus and so and this and that. And you open your eye, you know, and He hasn't done it yet. And I'm really believing, God, now I'm not giving up on this thing. And I'm going to hang in there for quite a while, God. And, you know, and He doesn't come through because you're so worried about seeing the thing happen. Just laugh and go off about your business. Just real quick prayers. Jesus didn't, you know, agonize for long, long times. Just say, Lord God, I know that You will heal me. Thank You for doing it. In the name of Jesus, amen, hallelujah, and off. Go on your way. You don't have to stay forever and tarry and sweat it out and wrestle. Now, there are times when we need to wrestle with God. But then the only thing you're doing is finding out what the will of God is so you can pray it and get it done. Hello? That's all. You know, if you don't know the will of God, if you don't know that He wants you healed, then you better pray until you find out. But once you know His will, you don't have to pray a long time. You just say, God, I thank You that, you know, it's done in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, amen, and get up and wash the dishes or go off to the show or whatever you want to do. And God will do His part. Amen? Now, how do I know that? Because it's written in the book. That's what it say in the good book. It's good. Now, another thing is I know that by experience because I have found out that when I live my life by faith, it works. That is, God is faithful to keep His word. Now, you say, do you have 100% experiences? Uh-uh. Nobody does. Nobody but nobody but nobody. Nobody gets all the experiences. None. Nobody. It takes time to learn all these things. You have to grow little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, you glory to glory, degree by degree. You can't get it all at once. So there's nobody that can say, I've had 100%, you know, accomplishments. Now, there was a guy that once said that. No, seriously, and he probably did, I don't know. But his name was George Mueller. And George Mueller said that God answered every prayer of his. I kind of believe him. Just reading his story, I believe it. So there's a big limit there. You know, I mean, you know, it just seems like you can go awfully high. But I know I haven't gotten all my prayers answered. I don't know when he began. You know, maybe you get a head start, you know, and then later you say, now we'll begin, you know, kind of erase everything and start all over again. But I know one thing, I have no complaints. God has been so good to me that it's all over as far as I'm concerned. God's already proved Himself over and over and over again. I know the Word of God is true and altogether. You know, God, when He says a thing, that's it. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, this is a powerful thing. Chapter 12, Deuteronomy 12. This is Moses. You remember Moses? He was the guy that had faith. He led the people out of Egypt, believing that they would follow him, believing that he could take them out in the first place, believing that God would lead them step by step and so on. Moses was one of the meekest men. In fact, he was the meekest man on the face of the earth because for 40 years he learned meekness. For 40 years he was an arrogant, self-willed, sight man. And when God said, I want you to let my people go, I want you to lead them out, he went out and killed an Egyptian. Now that's sight. I mean, that's obvious. You want the people to go? Whack! You know, start killing Egyptians, you know. Now the people can go. But Moses was not a meek man. He was not a man by faith yet. He was a man that went by sight. He didn't understand. He didn't know the living God. 40 years later, having been completely separated unto God out in the desert, he began to learn a few things. And what he learned, I doubt that he learned anything for 39 years and, you know, umpteen days. But, you know, just in the end there, he began to get it through his head that he couldn't accomplish anything. And that's when he became a meek man. He said, okay, God, when God said to him, I'm going to send you back now when he was 80, that's when I think he learned meekness. And he thought to himself, now I've got a choice to make right now. When I was 40, I could have done the kingdom for you. But now that I'm 80 and ready for Jackson Square, I don't think I can do it. But Moses learned there not to outthink God or not to try to figure things out. And he learned to stand on the Word of God. If God said, let my people go, and you remember Moses still complained. He said, well, God, I can't speak too well and all that. And, you know, he tried to, you know, teach God. And, you know, have you ever tried to teach God? You know, he doesn't know everything, does he? You know, he created us very intelligent people. We seem to know everything. God says, take every thought captive to the Word of God. In other words, you don't know how to think. And that's why he always says, repent. That means change your thinking. Metanoia. Have a complete, total change of your thinking. Because everything you think is wrong. And even the thing you think, when you think you're right, you're wrong. And when you think you're wrong, you're wrong. You don't know anything. And that's why you have to learn by the Bible. You have to learn everything by the Word of God. A, B, C. You have to start out with goo, goo, and ga. A lot of Christians don't want to do that.
I don't want to speak in tongues because that's silly.
Well, you have to start out with goo, goo, and ga. You have to start out where God wants you to be. You have to do it God's way. You have to do things that seem silly and ridiculous and insignificant. But they're the things that make this world go, and that's not a bunch of words. That's either your life or it's a lie. You are a hypocrite if you call yourself a Christian and don't live by faith. So, all of your hope is in God. Now, that's substance. That's something that's bedrock. That is something that stands underneath. That's faith. Faith stands underneath everything I think, everything I do, everything I say. And even when I blow it, it stands under that too. So God is doing something with this man called Moses. These are the statutes and judgments which he shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord, the God of your fathers, giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye shall live upon the earth. Well, that's a great and high promise, that the whole land will belong to Moses and the people of God. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods. Now, what God wants us to do as a people is to destroy all the places of Satan. Every satanic stronghold on the face of the earth, we are called to destroy them. Not just walk around them and ignore them, but go out and actively destroy them. Hello? Hello? Now, don't go out and kill an Egyptian. You know, don't go down to the local whatever and burn the place down. Or stand there in an all-night vigil cursing the place. That's not what God said to do. Seek God. You know, you'll be surprised how God will do it. He doesn't do it the way you think he would do it. And he'll never do what you think he'll do. Always ask him. Always do what you know to do, and God will lead you in the way that you do not know. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. You shall overthrow their altars, break down their pillars, burn their groves with fire. Ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, destroy the names out of that place. Now, when Israel actually got into the land, they didn't do any of that. You know what they did? In one case, they actually said, now stop worshiping here. Now that wasn't what God said, was it? In another place, they not only said, stop worshiping here, but we're going to break down this place. So they knocked all the pieces down, but they didn't actually break them in pieces. In another place, they actually said, don't worship here, broke down the place, and then broke all the little pieces. And by degrees, they didn't do what God said. It's not enough to do it halfway. You've got to go all the way with God. He says, find out where they are, utterly stop all the worship, break down all the places, break them into smithereens, burn it until there's nothing left of the place, and then build an altar in my name there. You know, God wants you to totally transform this world, to occupy until he comes. Occupy means to actually go in there, wipe out what's there, and set up a whole new deal until Jesus comes back to take it. Hello? Now, we haven't been doing that. We haven't been establishing strongholds and beachheads. We've just been walking around the devil and saying, shh, shh. He'll get you if you go one step with God. The devil will get you and push you back two steps. Haven't you heard that? You know, you don't want to go forward with God because the devil will get you the next day. Have you heard that? Have you heard that? Shh, the devil will hear us. You know, if I praise too loud, the devil will get me. You know, I'll be a fool. You know, people will laugh at me. Or I'll think in an hour or so, you know, why did you do that? And so on and so forth. We're all afraid of the devil. Why? God has given us total power over the devil. He said, I have given you all power over all the power of the enemy. All power over all the power of the enemy. All power over all the power. Do you have all power? You do, by faith. Now you need to learn that. Now you don't have it just because you put it in your head. You've got to learn to walk that. And I'll tell you, that'll wipe you out in doing it, won't it? You start to walk that, and you'll find that there'll be a battle. You have to have steadfastness then. Otherwise, you'd give up too soon. So I tried that, and it didn't work. Well, of course not. Keep trying. Well, you know, it's just too much for most of us. You know, look, you're either committed to this or not. If you believe, then you will see the glory of God. But you'll have to be steadfast. You'll have to keep it up. You'll have to keep going until you defeat and overthrow. I don't believe the devil's going to win. I believe even if the devil won everything, I'd win. I really believe the devil's going to win in this sense. I believe we haven't seen half of what the devil wants to do in the earth. I believe the devil is going to do much more than what we've seen today. I don't think Jesus is going to come back. I think we're going to see the master plan of Satan manifested. This is what I believe. Now, that scares most people because they'd like to stop him. Fight humanism, you know. Ha, hee, ha. You know, and cut down all the junk and so on. I'll tell you what. That's the best thing that could happen to this world. You know why? Because God doesn't want lovers that are half committed. Now, they've never loved Jesus, and they might as well do their thing until they taste it. So that when God's word comes to them, they freely choose God when they've freely chosen sin. God does not want you to be forced to love him. He wants independent people who love him on purpose. I tell you, I tasted the world. And it stinks. But there's no going back for me. There's no partly getting in and then partly going back. I don't want to go back. It doesn't tempt me at all. It doesn't hold anything for me. I'm in love with Jesus. Why? Because I had that. I freely chose to be a sinner. And I freely chose to love Jesus Christ. I tell you, there's no comparison. Once you've tasted of this world and you've tasted of God, there's no comparison. Oh, at first, I would taste a little of Jesus, then a little bit of the world, and a little bit of Jesus, and a little bit of the world. But after a while, I couldn't do it. There's no way. The world, at first, I would kind of run back to the world for a while and go, ah, you know, like, it's too much work to live for this guy Jesus, you know. I was asking for vacation time all the time. God, let me go back into the world for a while and just, you know, feel sorry for myself or get angry or, you know, something or other. But no, that's no good. The world is a lie. It's deception. It's misery. It's demonic. And I tell you, we're going to get the greatest victory, the greatest harvest this world has ever seen. I'm absolutely convinced of this. The greatest harvest this world has ever seen as man rebels from God. As man continues in his rebellion, all the stuff that you fear coming to pass, I believe it'll come to pass. I believe you will see those things come to pass, but you should get excited about it. Because in the day of darkness, you are like a bright light. I know why you're afraid, because you don't think you could make it. You think that when it got that rotten, you'd have to give in yourself, or you'd just hope that a rapture would come and take you away. Don't you realize we can take all the power of the enemy? There's nothing that he has that's powerful. Don't wait for the enemy to do it. Go out now and take him. Take him now. Don't you realize you can take every stronghold of Satan? Do you realize you can take everything? Will the group that said amen please come forward here? We've got all the power in the world. It works. You know, if I were all alone, I could take the whole world. One man armed with the Word of God can take everything. God doesn't want a bunch of half... It doesn't help God's army out to have a whole bunch of fraidy cats and half-committed people. Get rid of them. God wants people that are pure, that want to go all the way, that rejoice greatly in God. Now listen, listen to Moses. Listen to this. Let's start at verse 5. But unto the place, listen to that word place, which the Lord your God shall choose, even though you're free, I choose it for you, out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither ye shall come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The place of God is Jesus. The place in the Old Testament was Jerusalem. Jesus is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is Jesus, if I can put it this way. That God had one place. He didn't set up 100 places like churches today. Churches are all over the place. Place here and a place there and place here and place there. All over the world, places. But God said only one place for worship, Jerusalem. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though in the Old Testament there was only one place, there must not be one place in the New Testament on the earth. Why? Because the place is no longer on the earth. But the place is in Jesus Christ, who was on the earth, Word become flesh, who now lives and dwells in us. We are the place scattered over the earth, but united in heaven. And that's the city that we are looking forward to. Now I'll tell you, every church is a place where God's people gather, where there's unity. Every place is a working model, but it's not heaven. It's heaven by faith, but it's not heaven itself. It is truly heaven, because it's the substance. But it's not by sight. That's yet to come. Do you see what I'm saying? We're really heaven right now. If you'll just step out in faith right now, we have heaven. I can love David now by faith. That's heaven. I don't have to wait till I feel it and say, well, I'd be a hypocrite if I loved David because I really don't like him. Look, I need to break that. That's a lie from hell. I love David. David loves me. Now, we can enter into faith right now without feelings, without understanding, without anything but obedience based on faith in the Word of God. That's substance. That's heaven. That's all we're waiting for. Just people who live the Word. People who have the Word in them. People who base their lives on the Word. People who live by the Word. Period, period, period. That's all there is. Don't wait for magic or some kind of the Holy Spirit will fall on us and so on. That will come when you step out in faith. Until you rejoice and do all the things God told you to do, He will not baptize you with power. Not in the way that you think. That is conditional. I tell you, the day that we walk in faith, the day that you say in your heart, yes, Lord, I will rejoice greatly. Yes, Lord, I will take everything you've given me. Yes, Lord, I'm committed to go all the way. The day that you say that in your heart and determine to live from that moment on according to the Bible, the Word of God. Even though it's a written word, it's also a living word. When you determine to do that, that's the day God will begin to powerfully manifest Himself, not only in your life, in your family, in the church, but in this city until we take the world. We're out to take the world. And you know what we have to do? We have to tear down every place out in the world where the devil has stolen glory from God. It belongs to us. We're the meek that inherit the earth. Every little church is a model of that center, which is heaven, but our eyes are not down here. Don't ever look for a perfect pastor. You're not going to get one. This is all you get. You know? And it's great, isn't it? If you've got faith, you like it. You say, praise God, what a great pastor. Because faith. And I look out at you. And I say, ooh, what a perfect people. Oh, what a precious people. Glory to God, what a people. Oh, praise God. I get excited. Why? I got a lot of faith. You've got to have a lot of faith. It's all in faith. Otherwise, I couldn't rejoice. I'd have to postpone my worship. God said, I want a place on the earth where people will worship me with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. He doesn't just want you to worship, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, praise God. That's so stiff. He wants you to worship Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, everything you've got. God, I love You. I love You. Do I feel that? Who cares? Do I understand that? Who cares? Are you going to live your life by psychology? That's what Freud thought. He thought he could study the inner states of man and come up with something. He came up with junk. Freud doesn't even understand what Freud thinks he understands. He doesn't understand anything. He's a dumbo. He's insane. He's crazy. He's nuts. So are all humanists, all sociologists, psychologists, philosophers, ethicists, all of them, scientists, all of them that do not base their life wholly, completely, day in and day out, 24 hours a day, on Jesus Christ and His Word alone. Is that crazy? That's the only thing that brings rest, peace. Listen. But unto that place that I shall choose out of all the tribes to put My name there, even unto this habitation shall ye seek, and thither you shall come. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I, and I alone, will give you rest. No psychologist, no pastor, no anyone. I don't care who they are. I can't give you rest. So, Pastor, I'm anxious. I have a nervous problem. Could you help me? No, I can't. But I know one that can. It's the same one you could talk to at home. I'll give you his number. Now, there's nothing wrong with coming, but make sure when you come that he doesn't give you anything except Jesus. Because there's nothing but Jesus. You don't have to tell your story. Well, it all began when I was 3. You know, who cares? I have my own family. I got my own problems. I want to hear yours. I'm not interested. Don't need them. Why? Because Jesus does it all. All we have to do is let's pray. Wait a minute. You can't pray until you understand everything. It wouldn't help me if I did. Wouldn't help me. I don't need to know. Let's just ask Jesus. We haven't heard what we're to ask Him for. He'll tell us what we're to ask Him for. Don't you believe in the miracle of God? Don't you believe that God knows how to answer everything? We could get a lot much done quicker if we would learn to base our lives on faith. We wouldn't have to wait for feelings or for understanding or, like scientists, always building up probabilities till we get to what? Probability. More probability and more probability. You know that probability never leads to authority? It never leads to a decisive decision. Scientists change their mind every day of the week. Why? Because all the facts are never in. God knows all the facts. And God has told us ahead of time what to do and how to live. And that's where you find rest. I tell you, I know my life is at peace because I know all the answers. I know everything there is to know because I know Jesus. And He tells me whatever I need to know. He said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'll give you all. I know everything. There's nothing I need to know. You can't catch me or get me off guard or something. Because just ask Jesus, do I need to know that? Not yet. Then I know all I need to know. I always know everything. I'm always adequate to every situation. I've never been caught short. Never. Some say, well, you know, you're not fully developed yet. Great. I'm just at the point where God can use me then. I'm always at the point where God can get all the glory. You are perfectly adequate. Don't you like yourself? That's by faith. Faith. Don't you like yourself? Amen. You're the most wonderful person. Do you believe that? Or do you believe you're adequate? It says that Jesus Christ is our sufficiency. He's the one that makes me sufficient to everything. I'm never anxious. I'm never caught short. Even when I'm anxious, I'm not anxious about being anxious. Right? Even that can serve God's purposes. Even the stuff I forget serves God. Even when I blow it, that too. My God can bring good out of anything. The other gods can't do that. My God can. Isn't that exciting? Look, if you wait for an inspiring sermon, go somewhere else. I don't have any. I don't have any inspiring sermons. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can inspire. And He does it through the Word. It's just the Word. If you want more inspiration that's in the Word, you'll never find it. There's nothing more than in this Word. That's where it's at. You can live today healthy, wealthy, wise, victorious, wonderful, happy, peaceful, all because of Jesus. We don't wait for heaven. Heaven's here. Heaven's already come. It's finished. It's over with. I'm not waiting. I will not be happier in heaven than I am now because I live by faith. Are you waiting for heaven? When your wife is saved, or your husband is saved, or your children are saved, or your grandparents are saved, or when someone is healed, or when someone shapes up, or when you are more pure than you are, I'm not waiting for that. I'm going to rejoice today because Jesus Christ has chosen me now and said, I am your righteousness. I am your holiness. I am your happiness. I am your rest. I've got it. I don't care if I see it. Well, I don't see anything yet. Well, that's all right. I do, because I have eyes of faith. And God said that He would put His rest in me. I've got my view toward heaven, not toward me. I don't care what I see here. It doesn't matter. It's perfect, because my eyes are in heaven. Whatever I see here, I see through heaven, and it always comes out great. Hello? No more wrestling, no more fighting, no more struggle, no more any of that, just rest, just peace. Do you have the peace of God? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. For my yoke, which see binds you, is easy, actually frees you. And my burden is light. You have a choice between two yokes, either the yoke of Satan, the yoke of the flesh, or the yoke of God. But you can never be free. I tell you, as free as you desire to be, the only thing you can ever choose is which slavery. I've found a master who sets me free. I've got a slave owner that sets me free. I like my master. He determines everything for me, and yet I'm free. I really do everything I want to do. Everything that Jesus wants me to do, I want to do. That's quite a master, isn't it? If I freely choose to do something else, I find I'm not so free. My freedom always ends up in death. It always ends up in bondage. It always ends up in misery. I'm going to build my life on the Word. You know, it's transformed my marriage. It's transformed my body. I was healed. It's transformed my relationship with my mom. It's transformed everything in my life. Just the Word. I didn't wait for a revelation. I didn't wait for some kind of magic revelation. Revelation is in the Word. And as I stepped out in the Word, God gave me incredible experiences, but I didn't build anything on the experiences. I built it on the Word. The experiences came after the Word. The Word first. Don't wait. Don't wait till you feel like you're real repentant. Don't wait till you feel like, just by faith, step out and say, I want to go all the way with Jesus. What have we got here? Can we pray for something? Huh? Oh, she didn't obey. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. faith. Faith in parents. What do they know? Praise God. Oh, God wants to put His name in this place. He wants to have this to be a place of rest. He wants this to be a place of peace. You'll never get it if you're waiting for it. Take it now. It's here. God wants you to live by faith. God has established in this world little centers all over the place that are centered in heaven. Down, we're on the way. I'll tell you, we're going to always be moving. We're never going to arrive. If you want to arrive somewhere, don't come here. They're already finished in other places. If you want to arrive, don't come here, because we're never going to be finished. Isn't that exciting? Movement is the sign of God's people. Do you see in the Old Testament, He always have up, now and again, till He got them to that place of rest. But our place of rest is not on the earth. We're going to constantly be purifying ourselves, throwing down strongholds. We will never quit. It's not going to be over till we get all the way home. There's never a time to quit. Now, if you don't do that with rest all the way, you'll be tired. You'll not be able to keep up. To me, it's going to be easy, because I've already got the rest. I'm already at peace. This is fun. It's easy to win a war when you've already won it. You know, I'm just going back through the movie, and, you know, we got some of those tapes, you know, at home, like Ivanhoe and all those things. And we watch them, and I know how they're going to come out, you know. And you can kind of relive them. Well, that's the way it is in the Bible. I already know we win. So it's kind of fun to see how God worked it out, because they get into tight scrapes, you know, and, oh, he'll never get out of there, and, whoa, you know, and the fire burns him and all these things. But he always gets out. That's us. Hello. You get out. You make it. You're perfect. You're absolutely perfect. You know why? Because Jesus made you in the first place, redeemed you, filled you with His Spirit, and said, that's the place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in heaven. But the place in heaven has come to us, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is the place at the right hand of God. He lives in us, so I'm the place. I'm going to a place, and yet I am the place. You see that? I'm already in place, and yet where I am, you may be also. Where you are, I am also. I'll never leave you. Oh, this is exciting, isn't it? You're already, you've won. Now let's go out and brag on God. Don't boast on yourself. Brag on God. God chose you. Go out and defy the world. Throw down all the altars and all the strongholds. Enter into rest. Never again be anxious. Never again be worried. Laugh at worry. Laugh at anxiety. It's simple. You're going to either build your life on the Word, or you're going to build it on your feelings, on your thoughts, on your desires, on your behavior. Those are the only two choices in life. I say God's Word is true, leads to life, leads to rest. God's yoke is easy, His burden is light. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank You that You have established a place where we can eat our meals with joy, where we can eat in peace. We don't have to look with one corner of our eye and see whether the enemy's coming. There ain't no enemy out there big enough, strong enough, real enough. They're all phonies and fakes. I thank You there's no enemy outside nor inside, nor any side, because, Lord God, You've already won. You've already finished this. You've already completed it. And even though we don't see it, even though it is by faith, even though my eyes see the enemy, I say to myself, there is no enemy. Even though my eyes see my inconsistencies, I say to myself, those inconsistencies are not lasting, they're not real. I will rejoice today, now. God said He loved me. God said He chose me. God said I am the place of His dwelling. God said that I dwelt in His heart. God said I am the New Jerusalem. God said His heart is the New Jerusalem. I am in God's heart. God's heart is in me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank You that we walk no longer by sight but by faith. We're the happiest people on the face of the earth. We're out to conquer our world, throw down every stronghold. We have much work to do to purify ourselves, throw down the altar, save the lost until the day of Jesus Christ, bringing people into the Word of God, basing everything, hypostasis, everything on the bedrock of the Word of God. Oh God, teach this people not to wait for wonderful sermons and messages and tapes and feelings and experiences and mystical things. Learn them today, Lord God, to step out on Your Word, to step out obediently without waiting for feelings or experiences, and say, this is the Word of God, and this is me, and this is the place of rest. And they will see the Lord God. They will experience the Lord God. They will know the rest of God. They will know the power of God. They will know the peace of God. They will know the joy of God. They will experience what they believe. They will see the glory of God. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.